Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Tuesday right here on B&E. For a lot of you, it'll feel like a Monday, first day of the work week after the MLK Day holiday. Hope you enjoyed it, whatever you were doing. Beautiful weather for sure, and that will continue into your Tuesday, the 17th of January. As you said, Buck, in addition to the 30th anniversary of the Cowboys' last road playoff win, it's also the birthday of, how about this list of people? Benjamin Franklin, Al Capone, Muhammad Ali,
wow,
Betty White, James Earl Jones, all born on this day. Most of them deceased at this point.
Ben Franklin.
James Earl Jones is still kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Still rolling at 92 years old. Yeah, Ben Franklin.
Vidal Sassoon.
Come birthday. On, man. Andy Kaufman. Maury Povich.
Wow.
Steve Earle, the great country rocker.
Is that Steve Harvey?
And Steve Harvey's birthday today. Yeah.
I must apologize.
Jim Carrey.
Michelle Obama.
January 17th. Kind of a rock and roll day. Dwayne Wade from NBA fame. So, yeah. Happy birthday if today is your day. And Cowboys feeling pretty good about a big win last night.
I like it. This game went the way I thought it was going to go, with the exception of the kicker.
Yeah.
They just have more talent. Cowboys just have more talent.
They do. And they showed it.
And a really nice game plan.
And they didn't play down to a team that played really a bad game last night.
And they had a
night.
Nice game plan.
They did. It was after the first two drives that kind of went backwards. Everything was on point. And Bucks were pretty lame, as you kind of thought. They're best team of a terrible division, but at the same time, under 500 this year, and kind of played the way they did this year, just looking a mess. And Cowboys took advantage
of
that.
Come on, Dak, where's my interception last night? The hell's that?
Not only did he not throw one, I don't think he came close to throwing one. Maybe in the end zone on the route to Michael Gallup along the back, where the defensive back dove for it and touched it.
Was that as close as it was?
That's as close to a pick as he had.
No overthrows?
It was a great reverse jinx by us talking about that for about a week.
Really?
Now. Well, he had thrown
He had
an interception in seven straight games. With that, I mean, that was a fact. We weren't making that up. You weren't not seeing that. That was seven games in a row where he'd thrown a pick, and three of the four had been pick sixes, for crying out loud. So it wasn't like it wasn't wrong for the Cowboy fans to be concerned. And last night was and part
he
again,
did throw a long out. That Michael Gallup had to jump real high for it. I was like, oh no, this is a 15, 20 yard out.
Yeah.
But it was high. I'm thinking, oh, okay, nobody's going to catch it. And Michael Gallup made a great catch on the sideline.
Once he settled
for a first down, I was thinking, oh no, don't throw that down low, because that's going the other way.
Yeah, once he settled in, he got going. And that's where I blame the Bucks, who are doing nothing to confuse the guy. That's part of it. And it'll sound a lot like last Tuesday, when you got to give credit to Georgia because they were great, but TCU was really bad last week. Bucks were really bad last night. They were a lousy football team.
And Tom Brady
team.
Was thrown to his guys like he didn't even know those guys. Like,
I know.
I mean, like, come on, you guys have been together. You guys have been together before.
That's what I tweeted. These guys practice? Like, do they get together and practice what they do? They don't look like it. And that's, again, taking nothing away from the Cowboys, because they were really sharp last night. But the Bucks, you wonder, Todd Bowles, there's talk that maybe his job is in jeopardy. Tom Brady's probably gone. Maybe the end of the Buccaneers as we know it. In that conversation. But Cowboys took advantage of that last night, without a doubt.
Good
Don't
job.
Apologize. Just move on. Just move on. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics to get you rolling. Then we'll dive into our coach's corner. A lot there on this busy Tuesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you, starting in the National Football League. And, yeah, that's where the Dallas Cowboys rolled into Tampa and laid a 31-14 beatdown on Tom Brady and his Buccaneers to wrap up Super Wild Card weekend. Game wasn't really that close. Dak Prescott threw for 305 and four touchdowns, also ran for a fifth to lead Dallas to their first playoff road win in 30 years to this day, their first road win, their win ever over Tom Brady. Bucks didn't score until late in the third quarter. Game well in hand at that point. Most importantly, as we said, Prescott played turnover-free football. Snapped a seven-game streak with at least one pick. Only negative for Dallas last night was the complete meltdown of their kicker, Brett Maher, who missed four consecutive extra points before making a fifth after the Cowboys' fifth touchdown. Dallas now has to deal with that as they get ready to go to San Francisco to face the 49ers in the divisional playoffs around this weekend. Vegas has installed the Niners as an early 3.5-point favorite in that game. Top-seeded Eagles will face the New York Giants over in the other NFC divisional matchup on Saturday night. AFC will feature the Jaguars at Chiefs in the early game Saturday. Cincinnati is at Buffalo in the late game, early game Sunday. Also from the NFL, Sean Payton has completed an interview with the Houston Texans. Did that yesterday. Ahead of that interview and meeting with the Texans, the former Saints head coach said in an interview with the Colin Cowherd show that he absolutely would consider coaching in Houston. He also reportedly interviewed with Denver and Arizona. We'll keep you posted. One coach who's not going anywhere is Jim Harbaugh, apparently. Yesterday, the University of Michigan president, Santa Ono, tweeted that he spoke to Harbaugh and he confirmed he would be back for a ninth season. At his alma mater, yesterday was the final day for draft-eligible players to declare their intentions to enter the NFL draft. A slew of top names made it official, including the Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud. Any doubt there? Also, a pair of TCU Horned Frogs, Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver, running back Kendre Miller, both headed to the NFL draft, and USC wide receiver Jordan Addison is off to the NFL. College basketball, Longhorns up to number 7 in this week's AP Top 25 after their double comeback wins last week over TCU and Texas Tech. Longhorns are 15-2, 4-1 in Big 12 play. Huge road test tonight at Ames, Iowa. They'll play 4-1 Iowa State. They're also 4-1 in the conference, as we said. That game tips at 8 o'clock tonight. You'll hear it live here on the Horn, 7:30 on the pregame. Ahead of that game, how about Kansas and Kansas State? 6 o'clock tip from the Octagon of Doom in Manhattan. That should be a fun night of basketball in the Big 12.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Two things I thought I'd never say. You know what? San Francisco is going to have to take away Dalton Schultz. And the other thing I never said, when Dalton Schultz got that contract, I never said, "Don't, you're overpaying for this guy." I never thought that.
He hadn't gotten it yet. Remember, he's on the franchise tag.
Yeah, but remember when it got to the point where they were thinking, "Oh, don't worry about him, leave him be." I'm like, "No, that's Dak's guy. You can't leave. That's your bread and butter guy with your quarterback. That's who you feel the most comfortable with."
Clearly, and that's why I said that last week. If I'm Tampa, I'm taking Lavonte David or Devin White, and I'm going to shadow the tight end. They didn't.
No, they played
two wide open.
Yeah, they played two deep coverage with the middle of the field opened up, and he found every bit of it. And so I don't think San Fran's going to take that away. That's what you're going to try to do, right?
Like, really, you're not going to cover? If you watch the Cowboys at all, he looks for Dalton Schultz and key moments.
Absolutely.
He was wide open every time. Like, what are you all doing?
Those weren't even tough catches, were they? Weren't he just wide open?
Yeah. It's like, that's why I say, do you watch film? Okay, you're watching film. I mean, Dak Prescott's having a great night, but when he gets in a pickle, he looks for 86. He just does.
Yeah, and that's why when they decided they were going to franchise him or end up giving him good money, I'm thinking, you know what, give that guy the money because Dak feels very comfortable with him. And they've got a really nice chemistry.
Yeah, we said yesterday, I think if you're Kellen Moore, you got to watch the 49ers and think, you know what, we can do a lot of the same things with Tony Pollard that they do with Christian McCaffrey.
And they put him out wide.
We can use CeeDee Lamb a lot like they do Deebo Samuel, and we have a poor man's George Kittle. I mean, we've got a really – that's a nice complement and array of weapons. You have to utilize them properly, and I thought the Cowboys did last night without a doubt, and I don't think the Bucs did much to confuse the situation.
The T.Y. Hilton just had the two catches that I saw, and that was it.
He had a drop, too, in there. But, I think that he's a nice complimentary piece.
In there to catch some
third down
catches.
To win playoff games, you need those guys. Pollard, C.D., Schultz have to be your engines. They have to be your guys. And then the other guys play off of that. Michael Gallup scored a touchdown last night. But that's what the 49ers are going to do. Debo's going to get it in clutch moments. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and then what Brandon Ayuk and some of these other guys get comes off of the attention you have to pay on those. That's what the Cowboys' challenge will be. And, you know, obviously it becomes the Dak Prescott versus, you know, Brock Purdy conversation, which, you know, if it's good Dak, you like it a lot. If it's bad Dak, you're concerned. We haven't seen bad Brock Purdy yet.
No.
And that becomes the challenge. Can Dan Quinn dial something up to make it a bad Brock Purdy game? He hasn't had one yet in his 6 starts in the pros. It's going to be a fun week previewing that game. Old rivals renewed and
absolutely
fun conversations to be had. With that in mind, Buck, let's dive into the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultation. That's AV Consultations Online. Find them with Tom McCain and his great crew, avconsultations.com.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Never make you feel stupid.
Was there at any time did you think Harbaugh was really going to leave Michigan this year, E, after the first kind of go around?
I kind of did, actually.
You did?
And you wonder with those NCAA investigation that was going on about, you know, buying sandwiches for people during the COVID or whatever, recruiting during COVID, if that may drive him off to the NFL because he don't want to deal with it. But in the end, it looks like he's coming back, and he talked to Carolina.
He's got a pretty good team coming back.
He does. He's got a quarterback. I mean, J.J. McCarthy's a real good player and at that position, and you know he's really developed the culture there. The lines of scrimmage are going to be good in that spot. Let me make a quick note. The Texas game is 7 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock tonight. There were three Big 12 basketball games tonight. Kansas State, Texas and Iowa State at 7, and then Baylor-Texas Tech in Lubbock is the 8 o'clock tip. Three big games tonight in Big 12 play. They're all on the ESPN family of channels, so be looking for those today and tonight. Should be pretty darn good. As for Dak Prescott, can we hear Troy Aikman after this game? Troy was pretty excited about what he saw. I mean, it was vintage. It was kind of a Troy Aikman-like performance. You know, when the Cowboys won their last road playoff game, it was 30 years ago. Troy Aikman was the quarterback. He outdueled Steve Young, threw for 332 yards, and hit Alvin Harper for a couple touchdown passes. Emmitt Smith had a nice game. Here's what Troy was seeing from old number four last night.
And Troy, you'd know as well as anyone possibly could what it is to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and all that comes with it. You said never better, and I'm interested in how big a step this one game is. It's 60 minutes of football, but it feels big to me. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree. I mean, there's obviously a lot at stake when you get to, and not that the Cowboys have necessarily earned the right, but last year 12 wins, and then they lost in the first round. So you come into this year with high expectations, and you're not going to be judged on another 12-win season. It all comes down to what you do once you get into the postseason. So that's real pressure on Dak Prescott and everybody within this organization. And for Dak to be able to handle it the way that he did, really, the entire team. And what does that mean? I mean, they've been hearing about that they haven't won a road playoff game in 30 years, and they've come up short so many times in the postseason, have not yet made it to the NFC Championship game. That is obviously still alive, and that will be the talk as they go into next week's game. But, you know, as we talked about in our game, let them enjoy this one.
Indeed.
This was a great win. They're going to have their hands full, as we know, next week, but just a huge win for Dak. I've been a big fan of his since he came into the league. In an era where a lot of people want to be a brand and they worry about numbers and all of those things, Dak is an old-school quarterback that only cares about winning football games. Everybody says that. Few believe it. Mm-hmm. Dak believes it, and that's why I pull for him.
Good stuff from Troy Aikman last night. Dak with a redemption game for him, certainly after what we saw in Week 18 against Washington. And last year in the playoffs, he did not play very well against San Francisco. He was great last night. And the Cowboys advance and get that road playoff monkey off their back. How about the only negative for the Cowboys being their kicker missing four extra points? And can we let you hear Peyton Manning? Of course, over on ESPN2, they got the Manning cast going with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Here is Peyton Manning after, I think, the third missed extra point. He's not real happy that the Cowboys continue to allow the kicker to walk out there and try extra points.
Yeah, going left, throwing back right in the end zone. Oh, my God.
You've got to be kidding me.
I've never seen anything like it.
Why are we kicking it? Why are we kicking it?
Peyton Manning sounding.
He can't believe it. Talk about a buzzkill. No one's ever missed three extra points in a row. That's got to be a
record. You cut a guy at halftime of a playoff game?
Got to be a record.
That's what's funny about that show. It's like a lot of folks sitting in their living room. I'm assuming a lot of folks were saying the same thing. Can we cut that guy at halftime? What are we doing?
No, one of my roommates was like, dude, who's the backup kicker? And I was like, teams don't have backup kickers, man. And he's like, well, if he gets hurt, what happens? And I was like, well,
they
probably
just
better than
dude.
This.
They have a dude with a square toe like me.
They might want to think about it for this week. I'm just saying. Hey, how about we hear from Sean Payton? This was interesting because Sean Payton, the former New Orleans Saints head coach, probably the hottest coaching commodity on the market right now. Houston Texans are interested. So are the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton with the Saints, still under contract to the Saints. And Sean Payton did say in a conversation yesterday, he feels like it would be a mid-first-round pick mid-first round pick, maybe late first round pick, to acquire his services. Now, and that's, you know, he said he had had conversations with the Saints general manager, Mickey Loomis, his former boss and colleague there in New Orleans. So he's getting that on good information. Let me ask you this, Buck, the Houston Texans, we'll let you hear his soundbite. But with Sean Payton, if it would cost you one of your first round picks, the Texans have two this year and two next year, right? They have the Browns first round pick this year, which is number 12. They also have the Browns first round pick next year, which we don't know what that number is. They also have their own first round pick next year. You have four first round picks in the next two drafts. Would you give up one of them to acquire Sean Payton?
Yeah, and I'd give him full control of whatever he needed to. That guy's already got his staff together and ready to go. He doesn't have to hire anybody. He's already got a group of guys that he knows if there's one of these jobs, he's got that job. If you know, if it's not with the Texans, you know, when the Los Angeles Chargers decide to axe that dude, he's ready there. He's ready at a number of places, even Denver. He just got a staff ready to go. If you have to give up a first rounder for the Texans to get that dude, of course.
I mean, it's a coaching quarterbacks league, right? And Sean Payton has proven to be, I think, a cut above as a coach. And I know people will say he's only won one Super Bowl, but as we said last week in New Orleans.
Have you seen the Saints since? Have you seen the New Orleans team since he left that place?
Well, Drew Brees leaving too hurts. It's a coaching quarterback league, and they both left at the same time. And New Orleans, well, who knows how long it'll be before they recover from
that. If you feel like you're starting over again, why would you want to start over with that guy?
Right. Essentially, would you trade Deshaun Watson for Sean Payton? Yes, you would. Once you had a falling out with Deshaun and he had his off-field issues, you would trade your quarterback for Sean Payton, especially if he gets to come in and draft his quarterback, which you could do with the number two pick. And now we know C.J. Stroud is going to be a part of this draft. We also, if you missed our show yesterday, there's a report that the Indianapolis Colts, who have the fourth pick in the draft, are trying to swing a deal with the Bears to go up to number one to be able to take whichever quarterback they want ahead of Houston. So that will be a storyline in the next few months. But, yeah, I would give up one of those first-round picks. It would be the second one, right? You'd be the whichever the lowest is. I'd hate to give up 12 to get Sean Payton, but you probably would do it. The other thing you can offer them is the first pick, the second pick of the first of the second round, pick
right.
number 34, which you also own. Now, would the Saints take that? That will become a question. And, you know, if you're the Saints, you want to see multiple teams interested in your coach, like the Texans and maybe the Broncos, and see if you can get a little bidding war going and get more than just one pick in that conversation for Sean Payton. So we'll see. The audio that I had sent Ty got deleted somehow off of the Twitter machine, but in it, Sean Payton essentially said what we said last week. I mean, they have a ton of draft capital. Sean also confirmed he knows Cal McNair.
In other words, he knows he'll be the boss.
Well, yeah. He knows he can go in and tell the owner, hire me, I'll work with Nick Caserio, or I'll bring in my own guy.
Right.
And as I say, as much as Cal McNair and that Houston organization has been a mess, the owner does want to be liked. He wants to be liked in that market. He sees what the Astros get, how much love and attention they get. He wants to be, we compare him to Tommy Boy because he inherited the team from his dad. You know, this would make him very popular in Houston if you were able to land Sean Payton. He's able to draft a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young, and all of a sudden you have a future in Houston with a coach who's been there, done that. I'd also say this about Sean Payton, Buck. I mean, yes, he only won and got to one Super Bowl, but we know, I mean, it was tragic for the Saints a couple of times. That game with the Rams when they were going to the Super Bowl and they get the no defensive pass interference call, that's one of the worst calls, if not the worst call in postseason history.
Yeah, they've been winners. They've been known winners with that guy.
The Minnesota Miracle happened against the Saints with the Stephon Diggs touchdown. Those prevented them from going to the Super Bowl. Sean Payton had his team on the verge multiple times. That is what you like about him. It's kind of like an Andy Reid scenario, right? You feel like you're getting a hold of one of those kind of coaches if you're Houston. And
if you have to, if you're thinking it's a rebuild, who better to rebuild your organization?
Right. A Bill Parcells disciple who's been there, done that, who's going to bring toughness to your... Now, let's also remember Sean Payton had to sit out a year for Bountygate. That's on his record,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a Parcells disciple. I like that about him. And Parcells won wherever he went. I kind of feel like Sean Payton would. I would give him the keys to the franchise without a doubt and let him draft his quarterback. We don't have that audio. He also mentioned, and this is true, when Bill O'Brien was the coach in Houston, they used to joint practice every offseason. Like, they'd get together because Houston's not far from New Orleans. So they'd get together and they'd practice together for a week, and then they'd play a preseason game either in New Orleans or Houston. And Sean Payton says he got to know the McNair family.
No, you got too many draft picks. You got to like that place, being able to come in and organize and
draft
the quarterbacks you want.
And Sean Payton cited exactly what I said last week. Draft picks and draft capital lots of cap space, upwards of $50 million in cap space, some young talent, and they're in a division that is right there for you. It's the Jacksonville is the best team in the division right now. So there's not a long way to climb.
Got
to
beat Atlanta.
You're not trying to beat the Chiefs or the Bengals or the Bills. You got to beat Jacksonville.
By the way, Tampa Bay will be rebuilding once Tom Brady leaves.
Well, that's why Carolina might be an appealing job, too, because that division is void of great quarterbacks right now, too. So that's there. Cowboys, huge win. Texans are going to – they did interview Sean Payton, so that happened. We'll keep an eye on that story. As for the Bill O'Brien I mentioned, you asked about the Alabama. You know, in our coach's corner, Nick Saban, if you missed this over the weekend, his defensive coordinator, Pete Golding, took the defensive coordinator position at Ole Miss. So Lane Kiffin has hired Pete Golding to run the defense there. And Bill O'Brien is still the offensive coordinator in Alabama, but reports are that Bill Belichick is going to make Bill O'Brien his leading candidate to become his new offensive coordinator in New England. And obviously that would...
That's got to be a go for Bill O'Brien.
You would think.
Yes.
Bill O'Brien to get back to the NFL with his former team where he was with Tom Brady
before. Gives him an opportunity to be a head coach again in the NFL or a major college.
And he'd be reunited now.
Yes.
Did he ever coach Mac Jones, or was that always Steve Sarkisian?
I think that was Sark.
Sark all the way? Yeah, O'Brien got there after he left. I think that's true because he had Bryce Young for 2 years. That's true. But Bill O'Brien would be united then with Mac Jones, the former Alabama quarterback, and his task would be to get the best out of him.
Or anybody offensive-minded could help Mac Jones. I mean, really?
Yeah, they have to have
what they've been doing, yes.
But that is now the report out of New England that Bill O'Brien has become the leading candidate and maybe the only candidate because we know Bill Belichick only wants his guys. He doesn't typically stray too far outside of his coaching pool to bring in coaches, and Bill O'Brien would certainly be a familiar name
by the way,
Bill Belichick.
Obviously, Nick Saban is not happy with either one, offensively or defensively. He wasn't really excited about his defense last year.
I don't think he's sad to see Pete Golden go. I think he wants to rebuild the defense.
Sure.
But look, Nick Saban now knows the challenge is Kirby Smart, and as long as Kirby Smart is at Georgia –
there are no breaks. You're going for the best of the best. I don't know who's going to be the next defensive coordinator there. But
well, let's keep in mind.
Good luck.
Alabama had the number one recruiting class this year. I mean, Alabama's not done recruiting. They're still bringing in great talent. And if you saw that All-American game down in San Antonio, about four or five of those dudes that were the best players are
going to Alabama.
And
Nick Saban is the defensive guy. So
he is. He'll hire the right guy. As for Georgia, as we said yesterday, if you weren't with us though, if you're off, thoughts and prayers to the Georgia program. That tragic situation with a young offensive lineman and a recruiting staffer killed in a car accident in Athens over the weekend. Just really, really sad. A 24-year-old young lady who was driving the vehicle and a 20-year-old offensive lineman who was in the passenger seat were killed in that incident outside of Athens. So thoughts and prayers there. Heavy hearts coming off of the celebration and all the fun. Reality hits real quick and how quickly life can change. So sad story there, without a doubt. Also in Coach's Corner, Buck, real quick, the Longhorns need a wide receivers coach. We mentioned yesterday a name of a coach, Jacksonville Jaguars wide receivers coach, Chris Jackson, has been reported by Inside Texas and some others as being someone that Steve Sarkisian is fond of. Yesterday, Chris Jackson of the Jacksonville Jaguars tweeted that I deal in reality, not rumors. I am the wide receivers coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, where I'm under contract and absolutely love it. My main focus is doing my job to the best of my ability and preparing for a huge playoff game this weekend with the Chiefs. Go Jags.
Well, it's hard to read on what that means.
Yeah, so obviously his name, Steve Sarkisian, that's the name that floated to the top of the wish list.
That dude is already in the pros and coaching a young team.
And you've seen the receivers that people thought they overpaid.
Zay Jones or what they did?
Yeah, Zay Jones and, who's the kid from A&M that they signed away from Arizona? Who's coming
Christian
and having
Kirk. Christian
Kirk's coming out of a nice little year. Zay Jones is taking off. Excuse me.
They can only get better at wide receiver, obviously.
Yeah, so, and that's, the reports are that's what, and obviously, it wouldn't have to be reports. You would understand. What Sark is looking for is a technician of the position. They need to catch the football.
Yeah.
The passing game.
The passing game. You just need to teach them the fundamentals of the game.
Well, I mean, Sark's going to work with the quarterbacks along with A.J. Milwee, but the entire passing game has to be better and more consistent. And catching the football, but route running, precise route running has to become part of what they're doing.
We can start with catching it.
Because, yeah, we start with catching the ball.
Yes.
That would
That's
help.
That's a good start.
That builds confidence.
Yes.
Kind of like your extra point guy. We can start with making the extra point, can't we?
Then we'll try 50-yard field goals.
Then we'll see if we can expand it. That becomes the Cowboys' concern. But that's the name, Chris Jackson. Obviously, there were reports that Steve Sarkisian wanted to hire his new receivers coach this week because they have a big junior day weekend, recruiting weekend, coming up this coming
weekend. What's Cliff doing?
Cliff Kingsbury?
Is he just going to go Booth this
year?
Just count money?
Count money. Be happy to be out of Arizona and not coaching Kyler Murray any longer.
Didn't he got like a one-way ticket to Thailand, right?
I saw that, yes. He bought a one-way ticket to Thailand. He might come back for a while.
Oh, we won't hear from him for a while?
No, Kingsbury's going to be doing the beach thing for a while.
Wow.
Do some traveling, count his money.
Somebody's got to tell me about Thailand. That's a
Did he go to Thailand
spot?
Or did he go to, was that where he went?
I think so. It's very cheap, good vacation place.
And a place,
I hear.
Really?
Yeah.
He decided not to go to Kingsland?
Does Cliff need to worry about...
Did he decide not to go to Kingsland and just disappear?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to Kingsland.
Come on. There's water up that way. The river runs through there.
I think Thailand sounds nice this time of year. I don't know. So somewhere. With Cliff's contract extension he just got, I don't think he's going to need to worry about cheap. He's got the cash.
Well, it's cheap, but nice.
Okay.
It's very nice, but you get a lot for what you're...
If I'm Cliff, I'm going to spend the year bouncing from nice place to nice place.
Yeah, he's probably not going to be there. From there, he's going somewhere else.
That guy's not married. That guy's got no kids. That guy's got big bank account.
Money. It smells good.
It smells
Come
good.
On now.
That's
I'm
probably
out.
What I would be doing and not dealing with the diva Kyler Murray any longer and the Bidwell family out in Arizona. We'll be back. B&E with you. We'll continue these conversations. There's your coach's corner. Preview Texas basketball tonight. More on the Cowboys' dominant win. First playoff win in a while for the Dallas Cowboys. Nice to see. We'll talk more about it next here on B&E.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
In the shotgun, Brady with a play fake, and he throws it in the end zone. And it is intercepted in the back of the end zone. Picked off by J'Ron Kearse on a ball that went a little too high of the target.
Boy, that was just a bad decision by Tom Brady. It happens to the best of them.
Wait, say that again?
Yeah, bad decision by Tom Brady. I thought he was going to throw the ball into the stands at the last minute because he didn't get what he wanted.
Yeah, Viking fence, defensive play of the game last night was a rare Tom Brady red zone mistake, and that was kind of the night for the Bucs and the season for the Bucs. I agree with Babe Laufenberg right there. He was just trying to throw it out of the end zone and couldn't even execute that.
Well, there was nothing into it but arms going backwards.
Threw it too short, and he wasn't really being pressured that much. He was just didn't like the play, and it didn't hit immediately, so he was going to live to play another day, and he didn't throw it far enough. J'Ron Kearse with the interception. We'll keep an eye on J'Ron because he limped off the field late in that game. Looks like he got his knee, bent sideways a little bit. That would be a concern because he's one of their key weapons there on their defensive side of the ball. He'll be big. He's one of those guys you'd love to see maybe shadowing George Kittle a little bit this week.
Yes.
Against San Francisco. Let's hope he's healthy and cross your fingers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Cowboys, nice win last night.
Two number six is going to be
Donovan Wilson's.
Yeah, I mean he's a physical player. He's not big like Kittle's is, but he can move around and he's physical enough.
Well,
he plays pretty tough.
Well, and boy, hopefully you hear in the afternoon Rod Babers talking about Dan Quinn and his positionless football. This is what's such a great matchup because Dan Quinn runs positionless football on defense, and we know Kyle Shanahan is a master of it on offense. I mean, it doesn't matter what your position is. They'll use you anyway and however they have to do to maximize your ability. And, Kyle does that with his offensive weapons, and Dan Quinn does that very well with his defensive weapons. But still, you still have to match up. It's still a matchup.
Yeah,
league.
I can see
and
Michael
J-Ron's
Parsons being on
guys.
Line of scrimmage, holding him up, not letting him release out of that tight end position.
Well, Kittle becomes such a nightmare. And Brock Purdy, since he's taken over as the starter, loves throwing to George Kittle.
Yeah, he's revived that guy a little bit.
And, J-Ron, with his size and length and the arms, you feel like he would be a guy that could help you in that regard because you're going to have your hands full with Debo Samuel. You're going to have to be really good against Christian McCaffrey in their run game. And let's not forget the 49ers have an elite offensive line, too. I mean, it's why they're so good. They've won 11 straight. haven't lost a game since early October. What the Cowboys have to deal with on Sunday.
By the way, my guy Cliff Kingsbury, you don't have to coach for the next couple of years. Just hang out in Bangkok. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, several people have sent us the pictures of his girlfriend who apparently went to Thailand with him.
Yeah.
A young lady named Veronica.
She doesn't get left behind.
He's doing okay. Do I want to deal with her or huh? Kyler Murray? How much money do I have in the bank? Because no one...
Tell me when I start to really get low, because I'm staying here for a long time.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm
good. The capital of Thailand.
Bangkok.
Yeah.
Several people texted that maybe Nick Saban would hire Cliff Kingsbury to be his offensive coordinator.
No, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need to work football anymore for a while.
Like, do I really want to work for Nick Saban?
Nope. No.
Nah.
I don't want to work anywhere for 2 years.
Where's Veronica?
Wow.
Where's Veronica? Here it is, Dov Kleiman with a tweet, not surprising, after you saw the Buccaneers last night. Buccaneers set to fire their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. According to this report, the team had plans to fire Leftwich since their bye week midseason, but Todd Bowles decided to keep him at the time. So he is going to be out after the game last night, and it was not a great performance. They're very predictable offensively. And I thought they were very predictable on defense, too. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think Dak Prescott settled into such a groove. I mean, the pre-snap was the post-snap, and he was very comfortable all night long in what he was seeing. And obviously, you're trying to cloud it for a quarterback. You want him to think one thing and give him something new, something different. Once the ball is snapped, there was none of that last night. He knew where he was going with the football most every time, and I thought Dak played one heck of a game. Cowboys do have to figure out their kicker situation, however, because you can't go into a playoff game against a red-hot 49ers team with a kicker that you don't trust.
Who? Jerry will be on the airways today talking about the kicker.
Can Jerry not do his interview this week?
No.
Of course he is. They won a playoff game. He'll be doing multiple interviews this week. But yes, I mean, that'll become the conversation with the Cowboys, because the only thing you need to fix at this point, played really well, your offensive line was good last night, and look, you took about advantage of a bad team. That's what you did last night.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
That's
exactly
what you
did.
And much like we talked about the Giants. The Giants took advantage of a paper tiger in Minnesota and did a great job. Minnesota's got questions to answer about their defense and their play calling. Giants didn't apologize. They just went in there and were the more well-coached team, the more prepared team, and they won a big road playoff game. Cowboys did the same thing last night, and now three of the four teams in that division, the NFC East, are on to the divisional round. First time that's happened in 20 years.
Yeah, a lot of interesting moves. You know, Alabama, Bill O'Brien will be out, and, of course, their defensive coordinator. Now, is Kendall Briles hired by TCU?
That's the report that Sonny Dykes is looking to replace Garrett Riley, who was introduced as the new offensive coordinator at Clemson. That Kendall Briles, obviously, he comes with the Art Briles, you know.
But he's moved around a little bit.
Baylor.
He was in Arkansas, correct?
He was at Arkansas. There'll be some at TCU that aren't big fans of that hire just because of the Briles situation and the Big 12 and Baylor, if indeed. But Sonny Dykes, he's got a lot of good grace right now because they just played for the national championship.
Yes, he does.
And Kendall Briles runs that spread veer, similar. But look, Garrett Riley did a really, really good job at TCU. I mean, and the Rileys have figured something out. He and his brother Lincoln, they do a great job. They have taken that air raid offense, which, you know, Mike Leach, the now late Mike Leach, really pioneered in college football. And they've come up with a way to be a power running team out of the air raid. And it really has become the huge weapon at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley, now at USC with a Heisman Trophy winner already. And Garrett Riley has got the same sauce. I mean, how do you play that air raid, yet you are able to be a power-running team? That's tough. That's really a recipe that not everybody has been able to. You know, Graham Harrell has not been able to do the same, right? Others who do the air raid don't stick with a power-running game. Kendall Briles, he kind of is of that nature, right? He likes to spread it, but then have a quarterback that runs and be a power run team. So that will fit what Sonny Dykes wants to be. But I think of all the moves this offseason at the college level, I think Dabo Swinney landing Garrett Riley is a really, really big one.
I do too.
Because
with the young quarterback, yes.
To go with Cade Klubnik, to go with how Dabo can still recruit, even though he doesn't love the transfer portal and the NIL thing that we're dealing with. Dabo's program felt like it was sliding, and I think Garrett Riley can be a guy that can come in and really help resuscitate that offense. That's a big move. Now, as you say, Nick Saban's may have to replace Bill O'Brien, who could be moving on to the New England Patriots. Pete Golding's moved on.
It's about their talent. They'll get the talent.
They're going to get the talent. And coaches were going on to coach there.
Yes.
Right, because it's the Nick Saban car wash, right? He cleans you. If you're coming up a rough spot, like Cliff Kingsbury, if he wanted to, could roll in and run the offense for Nick Saban, and he'd get another head coaching
job. Yeah, he doesn't throw you out. He just moves you around to a different place.
Or you move up.
Yeah, you either move up or he moves you around. If it's not working for him, he doesn't say you need to get – he just moves you to a different spot
in the SEC somewhere.
He'll move you to Mississippi and say, okay, have some fun there for a while, but I got to move on. I got to be in the championship. I have to be in the national championship every year. I can't go around just talking about winning 10 games. That won't be enough for our program.
Well, you wonder with these changes if, though the Longhorns are looking for a wide receivers coach, the name Holman Wiggins is still out there, right? He's the wide receivers coach at Alabama. That name has seemingly slipped off the radar screen at this point, according to the insiders. But, you know, if Bill O'Brien is indeed going to go off to the Patriots, maybe Holman Wiggins would go with him. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that with the Longhorn side of things. All right, Texas basketball tonight. We'll preview that game coming up at the 7 o'clock tip in Ames, Iowa. Longhorns with their biggest road test to date tonight. Longhorns 8-1 under acting head coach Rodney Terry. They had to come from behind twice. Safe to say you can't get behind tonight. You're going into Iowa State.
No.
This can't be a double-digit deficit at halftime. That would not be optimal.
You could be down 4. That's about it.
And as we discussed yesterday, but a lot of folks weren't with us, maybe a trip to Ames tonight is what gets Tyrese Hunter back going. Because if we talk about the one thing the Longhorns need to, there's a lot to like in a 15-2 start and 4-1 in Big 12 play, but this stretch that begins tonight is 4 road games in their next 6 games, 4 away from the Moody Center. They need to get Tyrese Hunter out of his slump, whatever that is, because Marcus Carr, Jabari Rice, I mean, these guys in your backcourt are playing great. Brock Cunningham's hitting big shots. Dylan Dessou has really turned up his energy. They need to get Tyrese Hunter back building some confidence. And maybe a trip back home might be what he needs tonight. Maybe.
Boy, it's going to be interesting to see how Kyle Shanahan gets Debo on Diggs this weekend. I think he wants that.
Yeah, well, Debo, you better find him because you never know where he's going to be. He could be in the backfield, could be in the slot, could be he's all over the place, number 19. We'll come back. When we do, it'll be Ty leading us through some hot or not topics as we crank this thing up on a Tuesday. Cowboys, huge win last night, dominant performance. How optimistic are you with a trip to San Francisco in 6 days? It's Cowboys conversation all morning long here on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets. Wild card weekend in the books. Super wild card weekend. 6 games, 6 teams advancing, including the Dallas Cowboys. Byron Leftwich fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That didn't take long after the loss last night. Cowboys may need to find a kicker before this Sunday's game with the San Francisco 49ers. Also in Hot or Not, Buck, we've got this story. I understand you're trying to make a buck, but this is getting out of hand. Have you seen this trend now? Apparently, you know, if you go to a hotel, if you drink anything out of the mini bar or mini fridge, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Now, according to this post on Reddit, there are hotels in Florida that are charging $50 if you try to put any of your own stuff into the mini fridge.
You mean just to have it for yourself?
Yeah, like you buy a 6-pack or you buy some waters to drink because you're going to be there a couple days, and they have a fridge there.
Sure.
And you're going to stock it. Well, now here it is with the sign that says at the Marriott in Florida, the refreshment center is on a sensor. If you put your own stuff in there, they're going to charge you to your card $50. That is ridiculous.
Tell you what I'll put in there, D's.
That can't happen. You can't do that. I guess they can. Just bring a cooler. Just bring your Yeti.
Oh, yeah, bring that with the ice
just
melting.
Bring your
get it all wet all over. Yeah, just bring that Yeti up in there.
What if it leaks all over the carpet? Who cares? Not your carpet.
That's right. Here we go.
Charge you for that now. They got your card on file. You know that. Also, on the not hot side here, ahead of TY's things we've missed halfway through this show, The website ultimateclassicrock.com put together a list of rock and roll's most hated songs. Let's see if these make your list, Buck. It includes Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
I can handle that one.
I don't like that song. I love the Beach Boys. I'm not a big Kokomo fan.
The Phil Collins ones.
Studio.
No.
Phil Collins.
No.
Don't like it?
Don't like it.
See? I don't like it either. Billy Joel, who's got some anthem hits. Their most hated song by Billy Joel is We Didn't Start the Fire. I would agree with that.
Yeah. That would make
cheesy
for me.
Cheesy. Aerosmith, I don't want to miss a thing. Yeah, that's when Aerosmith went full pop.
That's, right? that's from Armageddon, though.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
They wrote that specifically for that.
Yeah.
The Paul McCartney and Wings one is for sure.
Paul McCartney and Wings, Silly Love Songs.
Yeah, we can throw that one out.
Sticks, Mr. Roboto. Yes. Come on, oh, they got Paul, Mr. No. That terrible song. Terrible song. Starship, We Built This City. R.E.M. with Shiny Happy People. Yeah, that's a little bit too poppy. And again, these are all great acts who have put out some amazing stuff. This is just the worst of their songs, and I would tend to agree with most of them. Su Studio.
Yeah, no, thank you.
You know what another one is would be with me is, what was the Steve Miller Band song that they did that was real cheesy? Because Steve Miller put out some great stuff, right? What's the Steve Miller thing that always drives me crazy when I hear it? I'll think of that coming up. But we'll take your least favorite rock and roll songs. They also had albums in there, too, so we'll have some fun with that tomorrow. But yeah, Aerosmith. Of course, hey, Aerosmith was like the rockin'est, drugginest, craziest band of the 70s into the 80s.
Now, the Beatles had so many hits.
Then
they have to have one that just...
Oh, the Beatles? Or they have too many songs?
Yeah, they've got to have one that's just got to be horrible.
I'm not the biggest fan of the Beatles.
What? You don't have to be, but they're the best ever.
We don't need you in that group anyway.
It's fine.
You probably like the Dave Clark Five or something.
More of a Rolling Stones.
You're too young.
Yeah.
I literally love the Rolling Stones. I was watching a Rolling Stones documentary recently about when they played. They finally got to go play a concert in Cuba, because of course communist rule, and like a million people showed up. It was unbelievable. You're thinking, how did these people in Cuba get to hear the Rolling Stones? Not only did they listen to them, they showed up. A million people to see this concert, to see the Stones, which was pretty amazing. T.Y., have you started watching MILF Manor yet for us?
I have not, but I am hanging out with my girlfriend tonight. So
there you go.
I might have a report by tomorrow.
We told Ty yesterday that TLC, which used to be called The Learning Channel, they have a new show that debuted Sunday called MILF Manor. Exactly what you would think.
Copper's Cove, MILF Manor.
MILF Manor. As Buggy said, Cougar Canyon. And Ty has agreed to start watching
Copper's
it for
Cove,
us and report
Cougar
back.
Canyon.
Steve Miller Band. Here it is. Abracadabra. That's right.
Oh, yes, that's the one.
Abracadabra. It's like Steve Miller. Why would you go there?
No, you didn't have to go there.
Everything, you're rocking and rolling with the Joker and
take
the money Jet Airliner. Come on, man. What's this Abracadabra stuff? I know they just want to try new stuff and gets boring doing the same old stuff. Ty, what do you have for us in the hot or not?
The fire. Oh, really, Billy?
Well, Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk.
He went on Jason and Travis Kelce's podcast recently. And they asked him, you know, that Gronk always gets asked, do you think he'll play again, or have you been close recently? And he said when Tom Brady actually retired last year and he thought he was done, he talked to Buffalo and he was very close to signing with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So do y'all think that he's
dude's
done,
not going
done?
Anywhere, Cole.
Do you think he'll ever play again, though?
No. I think he kind of likes the shtick at this point.
But even if like someone gives him a call week 15, says we need
is
a tight end.
Is he in playing shape though?
Is he in playing shape? Or is he in Gronk shape?
I mean, he definitely still works out.
Well, but that's different than NFL getting pounded shape. But yeah, I mean, look, he's
the best ever in my opinion.
Tight end?
Yeah.
I think Travis Kelce is.
You think Travis Kelce's better than Gronk?
I think when it's all said and done.
When it's all said and done, he'll be the best.
He'll be the best because. You know, just like Brady with Gronk, it's Mahomes with Kelce. Patrick Mahomes ain't going to stop throwing touchdown passes to Travis Kelce anytime soon. He's all pro again this year. I like him. I like me some Travis Kelce. But will Gronk ever play again?
I'm going to say no.
Josh Allen, they got Dawson Knox there. He's a pretty good player.
I think he teams up with Brady in Vegas.
Darren Waller's there, too. Darren Waller's a good player. All right, we'll reset that Cowboys win 31-14, and the 14 were in garbage time. Cowboys dominant last night. Only issue was their kicker. We'll reset all of that. Plus, the Longhorns with a big win tonight in Iowa State. We'll take your rock most hated songs. You've got a great band, and they've got that one song that you're like, why did you do that? That's not a good one.
Come on, Jags fan. The Beatles are the most overrated. Come on.
Beatles are the most overrated. Well, they were the first, right?
Not overrated.
I would agree. We'll be back. Having fun on a Tuesday.